ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So today reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 41, Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura, text number 16.
Deva Deva Jagannatha, Deva Deva Jagannatha, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Yadutamo Tamashloka, Yadutamostamashloka, Narayana Namostute, Narayana Namostute, Deva Deva Jagannatha, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Yadutamostamashloka, Narayana Namostate.
Te unto you. Translation. O Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe, O you whose glories it is most pious to hear and chant, O best of the Yadus, O you whose fame is recounted in excellent poetry, O Supreme Lord Narayan, I offer you my obeisances.
Om Gyanat Mrandasya Kadam Jana Slakaya Shakshamalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasapane Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kumne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishne Sasanyavani Prasacharya Shatarine.
So Krishna is referred here as Deva Deva, Lord of Lords. As we all know, there are so many lords. It's one of the diseases in this material world, is that we all think we are the lords in our particular area. The two these main diseases in the material world of the conditioned soul is that we think we are the controller and we are the enjoyer. Because we think in order to enjoy, we have to control. And whatever little control we have, we become proud of that control. Whatever ability we have, we become proud of it, thinking, just see how great I am. It doesn't matter that it's not very much, but still. This I probably sometimes say, that even the pauper on the street, he has 2 paisa. You think, wow, I'm so rich. I remember back in the place when I first joined the temple, Korsnäs Gård in Sweden, outside Stockholm. At one time we had some peacocks. And there were some baby peacocks, and this one householder, he was taking care of this baby peacock. And he had this baby, he was staying in a caravan, a big, not caravan, but like one of those workers' caravan. And he was telling me how one time this peacock, tiny little peacock, baby peacock, and he was in the hut in the caravan, and he saw this mirror, and was looking at this mirror, and he started fluffing up his feather, like really looking at it, you know, walking this way, turning this way, turning that way. But this peacock is not, there's nothing. I mean, just some fluffy brown feathers. He has not developed into the full peacock yet, but still. That's why I say, sometimes say, as proud as a peacock. You heard the statement? He was really like, wow, just see how beautiful I am. And people do that all the time in the material world. How much time people spend in front of the mirror every day. And especially the ladies. How much time they spend on the hair and makeup, this ring, that ring, something. So in this material, we all think, I'm the Lord, I'm this controller, I'm the enjoyer. So many different lords. And also in the, even the heavenly planet, the demigods are much more powerful than us. They also sometimes thinking, I'm the Lord. That they think that they are the supreme controller. They become proud by that power. You hear how Lord Indra, we saw that drama recently. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were stopped from by performing Indra Puja by Krishna. Krishna persuaded them to stop the Indra Puja and instead used the ingredients to worship Govardhan and Indra. And who is this impudent young boy? They dare to stop. And who is all these foolish inhabitants of Vrindavan? They are not offering the sacrifices meant for me. I will punish them. I will call the Samantaka crowds and inundate the whole land of Vrindavan. So he was thinking, I'm the Lord, I'm the controller. Who is this boy trying to stop the sacrifice meant for me? So inevitably, when one has power, sometimes it comes along with it pride. Very often actually, pride comes along with it. That one get carried away by whatever little power. That's why the yogis, they perform austerities to realize the supreme. But along the way, they may develop so many mystic powers. And they become misled by this mystic power and start thinking, wow, look, see how powerful I am. Maybe I'm the supreme. What do I need to worship the supreme for? I'm the supreme. See how powerful I am. And some of these yogis, they are very, very powerful. Like nowadays, we see some yogis, they exhibit some little bit of power, and people, they foolishly worship them as God. But we hear of like Vishwamitra Muni, he's so powerful. So powerful, he can even create the whole heavenly planet. That's how powerful he was. They can create planet, destroy planet. So people in general, they do not know. Due to lack of knowledge, out of ignorance, they worship so many different entities who manifest a bit of power, and then worship them as supreme. And that worship may come in the form of Buddhas. Sometimes people, they worship Buddhas because the ghosts, they exhibit, they have some power. It's like selling the soul to the devil. You worship the Buddhas in exchange for some material gains, but you become controlled by the Buddhas. Or people worship the demigods for some material gains. It became the main worship, the demigods. And very often people become confused by the trinity of Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. Which one of them is the supreme? Maybe all three of them are the supreme. Actually, this discussion was going on there in the assembly of sages. They were discussing which of the three were actually the supreme. They could not come to a conclusion, so they asked Bhrigu Muni, he said, you are appointed to find out. And Bhrigu Muni went, first he went to see Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was his father. So when he came in, Lord Brahma was receiving him and he ignored Lord Brahma. By ignoring him, he was committing offense in the mind. This is, of course, nowadays it's very common. The children, they come home, they just go straight to the room. They don't even say, sometimes they may say, hi lady, hi mommy, and they're off to the room. Before you open your mouth and say, how was the day or anything, this is very disrespectful. So in Vedic culture, this is considered to be very offensive, to be so disrespectful to the elders. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying the austerity of the mind, I think austerity of mind is to offer respect to the parents, to the elders. Let's mention the Bhagavad Gita. Part of the austerity. So, Bhrigu Muni came there and was disrespectful towards Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma became very angry. But somehow he was able to control the anger. And Bhrigu Muni thought, no, this cannot be the Supreme Lord. He exhibits his anger. But at least he was able to control the anger. So it's more of passion. Influenced by the more of passion. Then he went to see Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva was very happy to see him and was going to embrace him. My dear brother, come. He was going to embrace him. And Bhrigu Muni said, don't touch me. You are contaminated. You always hang around in the cemetery, smear yourself with ashes, hang around with all those funny beings. Don't come near me. And being insulted by Bhrigu Muni, Lord Shiva was angry. He was almost going to kill him. Kill Bhrigu Muni, but Parvati stopped him. And Bhrigu Muni thought, okay, this cannot be the Supreme. He's influenced by the mode of ignorance. Because after Lord Shiva, it's not that he's influenced, but he's the Lord of the mode of ignorance. And sometimes some influence is there. Then he went to see Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, as we know, he's always, Lakshmi is always there. Lord Vishnu, he came in, and Vishnu was addressing, oh, my dear Brahmana, please come in, take a seat. And Bhrigu Muni went straight up to him and put his leg on his chest. But Lord Vishnu did not take any offense. He said, oh, my dear Brahmana, your feet is so soft like a lotus. Did I hurt you? My chest is so hard, did I hurt you? And Bhrigu Muni was amazed, by the reaction of Lord Vishnu. And of course, Lakshmi, he didn't take that kindly. Because after all, the chest of Narayan is the resting place of Lakshmi. He said, who is this Brahmana putting his foot on the chest of my Lord Narayan, my resting place? And because of that incident, Lakshmi normally is not very favorable towards the Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas normally are poverty stricken and not much favored by Lakshmi. So Bhrigu Muni thought, this must be the Supreme. So this incident was there in the Shastra. Lord of Lords, Krishna is the Deva Deva. There may be so many lords, even in old times they call the governor or oh my lord, he is oh my lord. There are so many lords. They may be in charge of a certain county, or a certain province, or even a castle and a piece of land. They are the lords. But Krishna is the lord of all lords, the king of kings. And he is the master of the universe. Lord Jagannath, master of the universe. Just like we know sometimes, in Jagannath Puri, they do not allow devotees to Western devotees to go. I think you'll probably comment that is Lord Jagannath is Lord of the universe. He's not Purinath. He's Jagannath. He's not just the Lord of Puri. He's the Lord of the universe. And if he's the Lord of the universe, he meant to be worshipped by everyone. Not just by any particular class of men or women or from any particular caste or religion or nationality. He's meant to be worshipped by everyone. And also I have said that the worship of Lord Jagannath is not sectarian. After all, he's the master of the universe. The Lord of the universe is meant to be worshipped by everyone. It doesn't matter what background we come from. That's why we have worshipped Lord Jagannath everywhere. So many countries, so many continents, the worship and cities, the worship of Lord Jagannath is going on. So this Krishna consciousness is not sectarian. When we worship Lord Jagannath, it's not a sectarian activity. It's universal, because he is the Lord of the universe. So we are worshipping the Lord of the universe. And his glories is most pious to hear and chant. It's very pious. It's interesting, in this sloka is Punya Shravana Kirtana. There's another verse in the Bhagavatam, second canto, So it's also straight as Srimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Sravana Ketana Vidyanta Sohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Surisitam. Now again the same line is that Punya Sravana Ketana. That the most pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is meant to be chanted and heard, to be glorified. Because by such hearing and chanting, the contamination within the heart become removed. The contamination of the heart. We have to understand that Krishna consciousness is not an external something you try to endeavor externally. It's not something you reach out and try to get. The Krishna prema, love of Godhead, is something that's already there in the heart, but it's covered. Because constitutionally the living entity is in the eternal son of Krishna, but it's just been covered. How does that verse go? Prema Krishna? How does it go? Now where this Krishna is in the heart, and by it can be awakened through the process of hearing and chanting. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadha Kabunoi Sruvanadi Sadha Chitta Kabunoi. That this love of Krishna is originally there in our heart, but right now it's covered. And by the process of hearing chanting, it becomes awakened. So this process of chanting and hearing the message of the Supreme Person of Godhead is of utmost importance for the living entity. In fact, it's the main activities of the living entity. Ultimately, everything that we do, all the service that we perform and activities that we perform, they are meant to bring us to a point where we develop this attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna. In the second canto, Sutta Goswami is saying that that by the performance of so many our occupational activities, that even if we perform our occupational duties perfectly, but if it does not invoke within us the attraction to hear the message of the Supreme Lord, then Shrama Eva Kevalam. Sanu sees as the Damasya Vasudeva Kata. No. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Anyway. Is that all there? It's in a series of verses in the Bhagavatam where Sutta Goswami is answering the questions of the sages, Chanaka Rishi. Six questions. And he's answering them. And he's mainly just talking about freeing ourselves from the most of material nature, rising from mortal ignorance to passion to goodness and ultimate pure goodness. And performance of duties and occupational duties meant to invoke within us the attraction to hear the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hearing and chanting is almost of importance. That's why sometimes we have to be always clear. Sometimes when we are busy, what do we sacrifice? Hearing chanting. Sometimes we think, I'm so busy, so what do I have to sacrifice? I sacrifice my hearing chanting. That is not the right attitude, right understanding. We should put the hearing chanting first, utmost importance. When nice hearing chanting is going on, then all the other activities will follow very nicely. Follow very nicely. Now how does one develop the attraction to hear? That is by serving the Mahatma, serving the pure devotee of the Lord. Then Das. And Susu Shraddha Dhammasya. Oh, that's the previous one. Huh? Vasudeva Katharuchi. Shamaha Sivaya Vipra Vido Noti. No. And then the last line? Punya Tirtha Nisevana. Again, the word punya is used. Very virtuous. So by serving the Mahat, the pure devotees of the Lord, one develop attraction. Katha Ruchi, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. One develop a taste for hearing the message of the Lord. And in the purport, Prabhupada described there are two kinds of living beings in this material world. In the material world, the conditioned souls, they are asuras, who are influenced by the asuric principle, which is nicely described in the Bhagavad Gita. One engaged in activities that drag him down to the lower most of material nature, or the lower species. But by great fortune, they meet the devotees of the Lord, whose life is meant for, whose life is dedicated to the service and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they become greatly benefited. Even though they may be influenced by demonic mentality, by association of the pure devotees, they become purified. And the business of these pure devotees is not just to be worshipped. They're not interested in being worshipped. Their main interest is to serve the Supreme Lord. So when we serve the pure devotees of the Lord and assist them in their service, we have become greatly benefited. Because after all, the pure devotees of the Lord, they are Atmarama. They are fully satisfied within themselves. They can be happy just sitting on the tree or sitting in a lonely place just chanting and hearing. But in order to spread the glories of the Lord, it requires so many facilities. So it is our great benefit and a great benediction that we are given this opportunity to assist them in their service to the Supreme Lord. That's why I say that one may claim that I'm a servant of Krishna. Krishna may be pleased, but by serving the servant of Krishna, Krishna become more pleased. Krishna become more pleased by that. When we serve the Vaishnavas. And by serving the Vaishnavas nicely, one become purified, and then gradually the attraction to hear the message of Krishna become more and more awakened. And because Krishna is also known as Uttama Sloka, one who is glorified by choice verses, one who is glorified by excellent poetry. You just see Srimad Bhagavatam, it's just poetry. The verses, all the slokas. And all these slokas are just for the glorification of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is verse spoken by Krishna. And Bhagavatam is verse spoken to glorify Krishna. It's all related. That's why these two literature is so important, of utmost importance, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all about Krishna. Whether it's spoken by Krishna or spoken about Krishna. So that's why it's known as Uttama Shloka. One who is glorified, his fame is recounted in excellent poetry. In previous time, you say that even the gopis, Vrindavan, they will be composing different poetry to pastimes of Krishna. And in previous time, if people want to remember something, they'll write a poetry about that. And if they're not good at poetry, they'll engage someone who is good to write a poetry. And then they'll be singing this poetry, or they may be writing a song, singing this song. In this way, by constantly singing, reciting the poetry or singing the song, they remember. Because hearing chanting brings to remembrance. Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smarana, Pada, Sevanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering. When you hear and chant, you always remember. Yes, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this process of hearing chanting is so important that it cannot be overemphasized. When we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the past sense of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always engaged in kirtan with his devotees. When the devotees come together, they always engage in kirtan. Or they engage in, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associated with his devotees, like Ramananda Roy, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami. They just engage in discussing the topics of Krishna, just churning. And as the devotees, when they come together and discuss and churn the nectar of Krishna consciousness, or Krishna activities, it becomes so nectarian. So nectarian that when we hear, especially when we hear the topics of Krishna and association of devotees, is very relishable. Very relishable. And sometimes the Svaishriya Prabhupada wants us in the morning to have Bhagavatam to discuss. We go through the slokas, we discuss, and sometimes the devotee may give comments and ask questions. In this way we churn the topics of Krishna, and we can get to hear from so many different angles. I remember one time I was having program in my home once a week. When I was in Malaysia. Then one devotee was visiting, and we were discussing certain verses from Bhagavad Gita, and we were coming from different angles, and it was really very enlivening that when he said something, he said, "Wow, that was something, that's something to consider, that's far out." And then I showed him something, and then he thought, "That was far out." And then he showed him something, and it was really amazing. It was so enlivening, and we got so much out of that discussion. We get to, our eyes become open. We learn, get to see things in a wider perspective. And that's what happened when in the association. And this is where the devotees derive their pleasure from. Sometimes people cannot understand. They come and we preach to them, and they get like, when they ask us, "Do you do this, you do that?" And we say, "No, we don't do this, we don't go there, we don't." And they come like, "What do you do?" You ever get this response from people when you preach? "What do you do? You don't go to the movies, you don't go to this, and you don't do that. And so many rules and regulations. I mean, what is there? What is left in life to do?" Because for the mature, this is everything. They cannot imagine anything else. But devotees, they understand all these activities that the materialists are doing are source of entanglement, which will bind us more and more in this material world. So Krishna gave the clue in Bhagavad Gita, Machitta Makata Prana, Bodhayantas Parashparam, Kattayantas Mamdicha, Tusyanticha, Ramanticha. Said that my devotee, they derive great pleasure from talking to one another about me. This is where the devotee derive pleasure. Tusyanticha, Ramanticha. By engaging in discussion of topics with Krishna, either engaging in kirtan or we engage in a discussion. And there's so much pleasure can be derived from that. That is actually the main source of pleasure for the devotees. Because by such discussion, one is transported to the, besides the heart becoming purified, one becomes transported also to the spiritual realm. And one get a taste of transcendence. And one get the association. When nice chanting is going on, Krishna is present. Krishna is present in the form of his name. Krishna is present in the form of his words. And Krishna is present in the form of his pastimes. So when we are chanting the name of Krishna, Krishna is present. Or when we're discussing the activities of Krishna, Krishna is present. So when Krishna is present, then one actually experiences great transcendental joy. So this is a very, very virtuous activity, punya, shravana kirtana, the hearing and chanting. of the topics of Krishna. In the early days, when there was not much activities in ISKCON, when Prabhupada first started the movement in America, all the devotees did was just chanting. They just go on Harinam all day, from morning to evening. Come back, drink some milk, and go to sleep. There was not much activities was going on. Besides the one Sunday feast, so some devotee was asking Prabhupada, he said, how do we, so many people are coming, how do we engage them? Prabhupada said, send everyone on Sankirtan. And all day they went out and performed Sankirtan, just chanting. That's why people know us, that's how people get to know us. In some places when we stop Harinams, sometimes you go on Bhuktish Mission and they ask, you say, where have you guys been? I said, what do you mean? We have been here all the time, but we don't see you on the street anymore. Where have you been? So that's how Krishna consciousness spread, by congregational chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan. Devotees go, and then they go out this magazine. As soon as anyone new come in, straight away they throw into the Sankirtan party. Go and hurry now. Remember in the old days when we have a bhakta program, every day the bhakta leader will take the bhaktas and the bhaktins out on Harinam. That's their main business. We'll learn something, we'll have classes, extra classes, we'll do some service, and in the afternoon we go on Harinam. So there was a lot of chanting going on. A lot of chanting. And this is nice, and as we were saying the other day, the chanting is meant to please Krishna. The chanting is meant to glorify Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, then that's the perfection. It doesn't matter whether there's a big crowd or there's no crowd. The purpose is to glorify Krishna. We go out and glorify and just, how to say, just inundate the whole atmosphere. Surcharge the whole atmosphere with spiritual consciousness, with the name of Krishna. And the fact is that anyone, when you chant on the streets, and anyone who passes by will hear, they get benefited. Imagine all these people in the shops. When you go on Harinam, they inevitably hear, especially when they have this, they have some small stalls on the pavement. They kind of wait here. One of the amazing things when I was in New Zealand, in Auckland, when we do Harinam, people will come out, and especially this one lady who owns a butcher shop. She owns a butcher shop in the arcade, and a little bit inside. And every time we pass by, she will be waving. And if you are late, sometimes you come out and say, you're late! You're late! And the most amazing thing is that the people who react to us mostly are people who are in the kebab, the butcher shop, and the people who are working in the kebab store. And these are the people, and sometimes they have these leads from the pot. When we pass by, they will say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. They will be playing on that bumper. And because it's been going on for years and years and years, and see how even though they engage in such sinful activity, they get some purification. Purification is going on. And then if we add prasadam distribution to it. Before we used to distribute some prasadam in a small cup or whatever. And there's double wempa, double purification. So it's so beneficial. His chanting is not only purification of ourselves, but it's also purifying everyone. When we're new devotee, when we hear this, we really take it to the limit. The bhakta leader took us out on a traveling for a few days doing sankirtan. In the morning we're chanting, and they say, yeah, you know, when you chant out loud, even the trees will get liberated, and we will be chanting our japa loudly in the park. And we walk up to the trees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We take everything very literally. And there was this one devotee. he was the vice president of the temple, and he was such a fiery preacher. Sometimes he would go to the forest and preach and chant and preach to the trees. Because they say that sometimes the Mayavadi, they become trees. And they preach to them really heavily. Very heavy preaching to them. Sometimes this is how we also hone our skills in preaching, you know. I remember there was one time when I was managing the BBT, there was some rivalry with the temple president, because I took over his position as BBT manager. He took over my position as temple president with swap, and he didn't like that, so he never put me on the roster for classes. And there I was reading every day. I was reading, and I had no outlet for it. I was just working in the BBT. What I do, I just read. Sometimes I read something interesting. I'll just run down from my office to the typesetting room, and I'll just say a few lines, and then the devotee like, what did I do wrong? I said nothing. Just, and then I went back to my room. and there was one time I was reading. I was getting so fired up from the reading. I was getting so enlivened by hearing Bhagavatam. And you know, when you hear enough, you just want to chant. It's a natural reaction. And there was no outlet. And I remember Prabhupada was quoting Sri Bhakti Siddhanta. There's no one to preach to, you preach to the walls. And I was sitting in my office and I was like giving a class in the wall. Just no. And Prabhupada actually did that. One time he was in his room, and nobody came, and he just started preaching. And fortunately enough for us, he turned on the tape recorder and recorded it. And that lecture turned out to be the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. The most amazing, isn't it? When you read the introduction, it's so complete, it's so intense. And that was the lecture Prabhupada gave to the four walls. So this is a natural thing. When we hear the glories of Krishna, naturally we want to chant. That's why when Rupa Goswami said, when I chant, I want to hear. And when you hear, you want to chant. It's just like it goes together. You cannot hear and not chant, and you cannot chant and not hear. Although we are very good at that. Chanting and not hearing. Especially when we do our japa. We're chanting but we are not hearing. But if we chant enough, something goes in. And gradually we want to hear, but we at least we can take it from Rupa Goswami. When we chant, he gets so enlivened by the chanting, he wish that he has 1,000 mouths to chant. And with 1,000 mouths to chant, he wishes he has 1,000 years to hear. Because he cannot get enough. Look at Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. They engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. They just went on without sleeping. They didn't sleep for 7 days, 7 nights, just hearing and chanting. And no eating, no drinking. Complete fast, nijal. They're observing nijal. Just hearing and chanting, they just get so enraptured. In rapid attention, they're hearing chanting, and the questions of Maharaj Parikshit was asking such nice question that just churned the nectar even more. The disciple, actually spiritual master, become very very pleased and very obliged to the disciple, especially when they ask nice question. What is a nice, good question? What is a nice question? Sometimes you ask question, and sometimes you ask question that's inappropriate question. Sometimes questions that is not related to the class. We ask questions that with the answers that not beneficial anyone. But a good question is, when the answer is given, it is not only beneficial to the one who is asking the question, but it's also beneficial for everyone to hear it. That is a very good question. So Maharaj Parikshit was asking such wonderful question. It's like, tell me more, tell me more. He was so eager to hear. And because he was so eager to hear, Sukadeva Goswami also become more eager to recite Bhagavatam. But one time, sometime he was asking such nice question, and Sukadeva Goswami was fell off the west, and he was so much in ecstasy, just reciting Bhagavatam. So this hearing chanting, imagine going on for hours, days and days. And nowadays, actually, you find many of the leading preachers, sometimes they engage in these hours and hours of hearing chanting. They'll give a lecture, then they'll kirtan, and more lecture, and kirtan, and more lecture. Like in the Radha Gopinath temple in Bombay, Radhanath Swami is someone who give classes for hours. And I was told, nobody leave the room. They just sit there and they listen. And they sit there for hours and hours. That's completely captured by this hearing chanting. So this is the most prized activity, to hear and chant about the Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe. And in fact, this is recommended. It's interesting how the Sutta Goswami, in answer to the question of Shanakarishi, one of the worst sloka he chanted was Tasmat Ekina Manasa Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati Shrutavya Kirtita Vyascha Deya Pujas Chanichada. Tasmat means therefore. After your discussion, everything is therefore. One should always engage in hearing, chanting, remembering and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very dear to the truthful devotees. And Sukadeva Goswami, in answer to the question of Maharaj Parikshit, he also said, recite a similar verse. Tasmat Bharata Savatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Srotavya Kittavyascha Smatavya Chitato Bayam. Again he said, therefore one should hear and chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Savatma, who is the super soul within everyone's heart. And he is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Ishvaro, the Supreme Controller, and Hari. Hari, he was known, one who removed all inauspiciousness. So sometimes when you preach to Indians, they say, Narayan is good, but he will surrender to Lord Shiva is better, because they give you so many benefits. He gives so many benefits. But one of the name of Krishna is Hari. When he surrenders to Krishna, he is Hari, he takes away. He takes away everything. But they don't realize when Krishna in the form of Hari, he takes away. But what does he take away? He takes away all inauspiciousness. When we are conditioned, when we are influenced by the most of material nature, especially in the mode of passion, ignorance, we consider what good to be bad, bad to be good. Religion to be irreligion, irreligion to be religion. You get everything mixed up. So what we consider as auspicious is actually inauspicious. And what is inauspicious is actually auspicious. So the materialists, they're very attached to all their possession. They think this is so auspicious. But they do not realize that all this attachment to their possession and so on and so forth is nothing but shackles on their leg. You just bind them strongly in this material world. And because you bind the living entity to this material, it is actually inauspicious. This is a very clear definition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is good and what is bad? There is no such thing as good or bad in this material world. Everything is bad as long as it is not related to Krishna. It's all bad. So what is good and what is bad? So Krishna in the form of Hari, he removed, yes, but he removes all inauspiciousness. Just take them away. Therefore one should just hear, chant and remember that Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which one can become free from all fear. Chechatobayam. He becomes free from all fear. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Why is so much importance given to Hindu Christian tradition?
Huh?
Why is so much importance?
I think I asked that question before. Is that? Yeah, they asked. Maybe your wife.
No,
one of you asked that question before. Lotus feet of Krishna. Well, one thing is devotees, they are humble. So they do not claim that see the face of Krishna. They offer the feet. My feet is considered lower, right? So the devotees say we offer the lotus feet of Krishna. And of course Krishna's feet is also very beautiful. It's like the lotus. So basically it's a sign of humility to worship the lotus feet. We do not feel ourselves qualified. We only qualify to worship the feet. And the dust from the lotus feet and take it upon our head. It's a sign of surrender and in humility. Any other? Shri Prabhupada ki.